Reform Voices of Torah, Union for Reform Judaism, Shabbat, May 7th, 2016, 29 Nisan, 5776, Acharei Mot 2, Leviticus 18:1 through 30, Haftarah, Ezekiel 22:6 through 19, Devar Torah, Blood and Sex, The Messy Stuff of Life, by Rabbi Elise Goldstein. In Leviticus 17:14, we read, "For the life of all flesh, its blood is its life. Therefore I say to the Israelite people, you shall not partake of the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Anyone who partakes of it shall be cut off." The book of Leviticus could be nicknamed the Journal of Blood and Water. Throughout its chapters, we find the words tameh, translated as impure, and tahor, translated as pure, as markers of a system of taboos so strong, the penalty for daring to dismiss them is karet, or excommunication. The taboos for certain sexual practices are painstakingly outlined in Chapter 18, the section of Acharei Mot that we read this Shabbat. But what the Torah deems as tameh and tahor are not actually attached to any form of physical cleanliness. Anthropologists note that taboos are the system by which certain objects or persons are set aside as either sacred or accursed. Such objects or persons inspire both fear and respect. It is worth exploring our own displeasure and discomfort with the word taboo and why we often discard any ritual or idea that is linked with it. The word taboo is of Polynesian origin. The words taboo in Tongan or tapu in Maori and the original Polynesian term was introduced as a social construct through the writings of Sigmund Freud, who then linked it specifically with sexual prohibitions, such as incest taboo, in his book Totem and Taboo. But societal taboos have the ability to bond a disparate body of people together, creating a group identity. In the article Taboos and Identity in the American Economic Journal Microeconomics, May 2011, we read, "Taboos are strong social norms, norms which are sufficiently strong that may be viewed as sacred. Every time an individual's behavior diverges from a norm, this act impacts on the other members of society." And taboos have a positive aspect of acknowledging mystery around something that we humans find inexplicable, awesome, or extraordinary. In her essay, Becoming Woman, Menstruation as Spiritual Challenge, Penelope Washburn writes, "A taboo expresses this feeling that something special, some holy power, is involved, and our response to it must be very careful." What happens when we reject our own received biases and recast our long-held assumptions about taboos, specifically around blood? We who are prone to shouting cooties should explore instead the positive and sacred aspect of what today's parasha is trying to teach us. Sforno, the 15th century Italian commentator, has a teaching on our verse that reads, "This is because the blood contains something almost intangible. Seeing this ingredient is the closest to anything completely intangible in this terrestrial universe. Something very special and some holy power is going on here. Something awesome and extraordinary. It is taboo in the most positive sense of the word. Blood is to be avoided in the realm of eating and sex, as shown in Leviticus 18:19, forbidding sex with a menstruating woman. Yet blood is also the same substance that atones for the community in Leviticus 17:11. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Blood both sustains and endangers. It is the medium of plague or deliverance. Thus, blood has, like every potent symbol, the double quality and the twin potential of birth and decay, purity and impurity, the mixed metaphor of fear and power. Contact and avoidance dominates all the Torah's passages around blood. We don't touch it, we don't eat it, we don't use it unless it is for sacred purposes. In Genesis 4:10, it is Abel's blood that cries out to God for justice. In Egypt, it is the clean, drinkable waters of the Nile, becoming blood, that begin our deliverance. On Pesach, it is the blood of the lamb painted on our doorposts that saves us. In Brit Milah, it is the blood of the circumcision that sanctifies us. For women, it is the monthly blood that creates life itself. The Torah, in its ancient and perhaps awkward way, attempts to remind us that something as mundane as the blood of an animal has within it a microcosm of all that we hold holy, and of life itself, a gift that we should never, ever take for granted. Rabbi Elise Goldstein is the founding rabbi of City Shul, downtown Toronto's New Reform congregation. Before that, for 20 years, she was the director of Kollel, the Adult Center for Liberal Jewish Learning. She was the author, editor of 4 books on women and Judaism, published by Jewish Lights Publishing.